Welcome to the National Training and Technical Assistance Center podcast series, presented by the National Crime Prevention Council and the Bureau of Justice Assistance, Office of Justice Programs, U.S. Department of Justice. The National Training and Technical Assistance Center was established in 2010 to provide quality training and technical assistance to law enforcement officers and crime prevention practitioners. Our goal is to provide officers and practitioners with skill-based training, tools, and resources to assist you in executing your jobs effectively, which in turn keeps your community safe. NCPC has conducted basic crime prevention training in 10 states. This year, this training will take place in Kentucky and Wisconsin. NCPC and its partners held a regional training in North Miami Beach, Florida, and will hold another one in Mesa, Arizona in September 2014. We have also developed fact sheets on crime prevention topics and a law enforcement outreach toolkit on CD-ROM. These can be found on www.ncpc.org under our National Training and Technical Assistance Center web pages. This year, we will introduce our advanced crime prevention skill-based trainings in Connecticut, Florida, Utah, Texas, and California. All of these trainings and resources are free due to our grant through the Bureau of Justice Assistance. This podcast series is an extension of our training where guest presenters and experts from the field will share the latest emerging trends, information, and best practices and strategies in crime prevention. We hope you find this series beneficial to your work and the resources presented helpful. I am your moderator, Sarita Hill Coltrane, Senior Training Manager with the National Crime Prevention Council. Today's podcast is Crime Prevention Legislation and Policy Support. As stated in the Action Principles of the Crime Prevention Coalition of America, crime prevention is everyone's business. To reach a broader audience, crime prevention programs and services must be embraced and institutionalized on a state level and in local communities with support by state and local legislative mandates, law enforcement executive commitment, and funding. Funding of staff and supporting resources are vital for the implementation of successful statewide and local crime prevention programs and services. Our presenter will discuss crime prevention legislation and policy support and provide information on where to look for it and how to enhance support in your jurisdiction. Our presenter is Patrick D. Harris, and he is a senior law enforcement trainer and advisor for Agility and provides training and technical assistance for police organizations in Pakistan throughout the International Law Enforcement Training and Technical Assistance Program housed within the U.S. Department of Justice. He has 40 years of experience working with local, state, national, and international police officials. He was a program director with the National Crime Prevention Council from 2008 to 2010, the executive director and lead trainer with the Virginia Crime Prevention Association from 1994 to 2008, a criminal justice program manager and criminal justice analyst with the Virginia Department of Criminal Justice Services from 1981 to 1994, and a patrolman and a police planner with the Richmond Police Department from 1973 to 1981. He has served as a crime prevention and community policing trainer, speaker, and consultant in 35 states and 3 foreign countries, conducting or managing 500 training events for approximately 20,000 individuals. He was an adjunct instructor in crime prevention at Virginia Commonwealth University in Richmond in 2007. He is a certified National Crime Prevention Specialist Level 2 through the National Crime Prevention Council and is past president of the Virginia Crime Prevention Association. Thank you for assisting NCPC with this podcast interview.
Thank you, Sarita. Glad to be here with you today.
Now, our first question is, why is legislative or policy support important to the delivery and continuation of crime prevention services?
The legislative and policy support is important because it establishes a mandate within your organization or locality for the provision of crime prevention programs and services. This concept of crime prevention in the United States has been started developing in the early 1970s when there was no mandate. And over the years, we've been establishing more things, legislation, policy, practice, that establishes crime prevention as something a law enforcement agency should and must do to help make its community safer. Critical part of that is that once you've got that mandate established within your organization, then there's the opportunity to get a line item budget, to get staff, to get staff positions designated as crime prevention positions, and to get resources to support those activities. And most importantly, it establishes credibility for you as crime prevention and what you do, and establishes your professional expertise. So the mandate is really critical to whether different changes within organizations or economic times. For 5 or 6 years now, we've been going through tough economic times, especially at the state and local level. And governments have had to cut back on budgets. And unfortunately, in some cases, we've seen where organizations, communities have decided that they could do without crime prevention services or do without their crime prevention staff. So without that mandate, that's easier to do away with those services. Another challenge that we've been facing for quite a few years is now is that our crime rates have been going down consistently throughout most localities in the United States. And we're seeing crime rates that are lower than they were in the early 1960s in some cases. And so there's been less emphasis in terms of government programs, grants, funding, and other activities in crime prevention. And so, again, if there's not a mandate there, so this is something we have to do, it's easier to push those services aside and say, we're going to save on resources in some other way, or crime is not an important issue, we don't need to do crime prevention services any longer. So that really, that mandate establishes your credibility and your standing within your community and within your organization.
Now, what legislative or policy support for crime prevention exists in your state?
Well, I'm from Virginia, and we have, over the years, developed many different initiatives to establish that crime prevention mandate. And many of those mandates were established by state law in the early 1990s. We had been doing crime prevention in Virginia since the late 70s, but we got a lot of our mandates created in the early 1990s. One, we established a crime prevention center at our state criminal justice planning agency, Department of Criminal Justice Services, which is responsible for promoting and developing crime prevention policy across the board for the state of Virginia. So the executive director of that agency was interested in crime prevention. We provided a lot of services. Eventually, we were able in the position to draft legislation that created a legislative mandate for the Department of Criminal Justice Services to provide a crime prevention center that did research, that provided grants, that provided technical assistance and training to support the development of crime prevention, not only within law enforcement agencies, but across the entire community. Growing out of the crime prevention center, we created a program to certify law enforcement and other staff in government as crime prevention specialists, set up standards, requirements, that if you met these certain requirements, then you could be recognized by the state as a crime prevention specialist. And it's a process. It takes a lot of collection of your background in terms of your training, your expertise, your experience, and demonstrate that, and then the state recognizes you. And then there's a certification process that has to be done every 3 years. And so we've got some very significant pieces of legislation that have helped do that. In terms of some policy issues, and there it's a little bit easier than passing legislation. One of the things that the Department of Criminal Justice Services has done for quite some time is provide a model law enforcement policy manual, policies and procedures for law enforcement agencies. And we had the opportunity in the early 1980s to create a policy as part of that manual on crime prevention, which is still in place today. And another significant one that's really important is including getting crime prevention included in the basic law enforcement training standards for police officers, your post requirements in terms of what it takes to be a police officer. Do you have requirements there in your state training requirements, and we were able to do that in Virginia. So those are some of the things that we have in place in Virginia, and many other states have those in place too. They have worked hard to put those in place. So again, that's establishing that mandate makes crime prevention an important program for your locality.
Now, where can our audience members look for legislative and policy support?
Well, it's the easiest things to do, and the technology that we have today makes it so easy, is to go to your state code in your respective state. You can go on and do that, and just do a word search looking for things that might reference crime prevention in your state. I found when I did that that there were provisions about crime prevention that I didn't even know existed. An interesting one that came out in terms of the school safety issue is Virginia has a law that allows superintendents of education in each locality to be evaluated based on the safety and security of the school. And this law has been in place for many years. It really was developed, put in place before the big initiative in school safety developed from some of the tragedies that we've got. Look in local ordinances. What does your locality have in place? As you recall, I just recently did some work for the National Crime Prevention Council providing CEPTED training in Maryland and Prince George's County. And in looking in their locality, I found that their planning department had established a goal, an initiative on crime prevention through environmental design that they were trying to incorporate in all of their local planning. So that's something the police department was really interested in, and it was certainly very supportive of the things that they were doing. Look in state regulations. Anywhere that you can do a search within your government sector, do that. But then also look to the private sector and see what things maybe people may be doing in the private sector that, again, you can identify that mandate that somebody somewhere is expected to provide crime prevention programs and services.
Now, I know you mentioned a little bit about word searches. What mandate words or phrases should you explore?
Certainly, you want to look at crime prevention, the prevention of crime, look at security, look at just the word crime. And a significant one is always going to be the health, safety, and welfare of the community. It's because many of the codes, especially if we get into the planning codes, provision of low-income housing, you're going to see that series of words there, the health, safety, and welfare of the community. And you can start keying off on those word searches to pull up all those different ones. And now we've got school safety, we've got homeland security, so many other potential searches there are popping up in response to some of the issues that have developed over the years.
And lastly, how can you enhance policy support?
Again, look back to your own organization. Do you have staff, and here I'm talking primarily about law enforcement, but it can be spread to other people and organizations that are dealing with the public safety and community safety issues. If you have staff assigned as crime prevention officers, is there an actual job description for a crime prevention position? If you are evaluating police officers or other staff within your law enforcement agency, are issues related to crime prevention included as part of their duties and something that you can evaluate them on? We saw this become an important issue in Virginia when we were doing some work with our Department of State Police. In the 1990s, the Department of State Police superintendent then decided that the state police were going to become very actively involved in partnership with localities in crime prevention. So they started designating staff, one trooper in each of the approximately 60 area offices in Virginia as crime prevention troopers. And then they were provided a significant amount of training to back that up. And then these troopers were responsible for crime prevention within their area office, in addition to the regular trooper duties. Well, one of the problems we ran into is that when it came time for evaluation of these crime prevention troopers, the evaluation process in terms of evaluating their performance for the prior year didn't include any issues or variables related to the crime prevention activities that they had been providing. So that's something that they had to write into their evaluation process. another important thing is to look at your organization's mission statement and the value principles and many of the other things that we've developed now as part of the community policing initiative of how an organization should be operating. Is crime prevention reflected in that mission statement? Does it, again, give you that hook, give you that mandate to be doing things? We don't have to sell management staff on crime prevention today as much as we did in many of the early years in the early late 70s and early 80s, but still, is your management in, within your law enforcement agency, management within your community supportive of crime prevention? Or do you need to do a better job of educating them? Look at other groups and organizations that are providing what we would consider crime prevention services and see what mandates that they have and resources. So we're talking about Homeland Security, DARE, MAD, school safety, you name it. Crime prevention has grown and branched out in so many other areas that we've got to make sure that we cooperate with them, but also can learn from their experiences and things that they have done. So there are many ways that you can help increase this policy support. Does your law enforcement agency practice good crime prevention? And most good crime prevention programs do security assessments of homes, businesses, you name it. Does the law enforcement agency conduct an assessment of its own facility and determine any strengths or weaknesses that they may have pertaining to security? And we can look into computer security, internet security, all that that goes with that. And then do your law enforcement staff practice good crime prevention while at work and while at home? I always like to say that officer safety, and it's an important training issue for all police officers, is nothing more than good crime prevention. You're teaching police officers how not to become victims of crime by teaching them what things that they need to do before the crime happens so the crime doesn't happen. Namely, they become a victim of a crime, assault, or some other issue there while at work. But then do they take those same principles and use them at home? Do they do inspections of their home security? Do they securely store their weapons, police equipment, computers? Certainly all police officers are advised now to be careful about information they put about themselves on a Twitter account or Facebook or LinkedIn because it can expose them to many different things. So again, does the law enforcement agency and the police staff themselves practice good crime prevention? It's a way that you can really help and support and create that credibility of the why crime prevention services are so important.
Well, Mr. Harris, I'd like to thank you very much for sharing your expertise on this topic today and your firsthand knowledge and experience that you've had in the state of Virginia. It's very valuable information to our audience out there. This podcast can be downloaded on NCTC's website at its National Training and Technical Assistance landing page at www.nctc.org. This podcast is presented by the National Crime Prevention Council and the Bureau of Justice Assistance and supported by grant number 2010-DGBXKO36. The Bureau of Justice Assistance is a component of the Office of Justice Programs, which includes the Bureau of Justice Statistics, the National Institute of Justice, the Office of Juvenile Justice and Delinquency Prevention, the SMART Office, and the Office for Victims of Crime. Points of view or opinions in this podcast are those of the author and do not represent the official position or policies of the United States Department of Justice. Once again, this is Sarita Hill Coltrane with the National Crime Prevention Council with Mr. Patrick Harris, and we thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Sarita.